Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be spreading the gospel with the apostles in Acts chapter 11. The old TV show, I Love Lucy, frequently got a laugh from Ricky Ricardo's exclaiming, "Lucy, you have some splaining to do," after she bungled everything. Have you ever done anything so outlandish that people around you demanded that you explain yourself right now, mister or young lady? In Acts 11, the heading in my Bible says it all. Peter explains his actions. But what had Peter done that caused him to need to explain and it caused so much confusion? Verse 1. The apostles and believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them?" Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. So, Peter tells the story about his trance and the vision from God about the sheep full of unclean animals and Peter's tug of war with God. "Eat, Peter." "No, Lord, I've never eaten unclean food before." And how the argument went on until Peter got sick of nightmares and woke up with a Gentile knocking at his door, who'd also had a vision from God, asking about the gospel. So Peter picks up with this explanation in verse 12. "The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" You can almost hear Peter saying, "What else was I supposed to do? The Holy Spirit baptized them with himself, so why shouldn't I baptize them with water?" Verse 18. When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life?" I don't know if we fully realize what a turning point this was in history. This, my friends, is the chapter where Christianity goes worldwide, where Jesus goes global. Prior to this, Jesus was known only as the Jewish Messiah, but this turning point proclaimed him as the Savior of the world. Read verse 18 again, sharing the shock and awe of the other apostles. "So then, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life?" Jesus had said it quite a few times when he was with them, but now they were seeing it unfold, and things were finally clicking into place, especially in their own minds. A good thing, too, because the Holy Spirit is already going on ahead of them, spreading the gospel outside of Israel, unbeknownst to the rest of the apostles. I'd like to call this next section, "Meanwhile, back in Antioch," verse 19. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Uh-oh, the gospel is spreading by common everyday people, not the apostles, not personalities or leaders, just the persecuted Christians who left Jerusalem and looked for work and safety up north. It says these were those spread out by the persecution or scattered because of Saul of Tarsus. Ironically, Saul of Tarsus was a church planter before he was even saved, at least indirectly, Through his persecution, he actually spread the gospel. And David once penned the words, "Even the wrath of man shall praise you." Those who have often tried to stamp Christianity out end up spreading it as the boot of persecution crashes down, splattering the faith everywhere in its wake. But now, you can see why it's strategically important that Peter is at the forefront of God moving into the world of the Gentiles. If this hadn't happened, the apostles probably would have never believed that God would be in it when Paul gets started. That might seem strange to you as a New Testament Christian, because Christianity to us seems born to spread. But Judaism was quite the opposite. All through the Old Testament, the Jews were warned to keep to themselves, to keep themselves separated from the pagan Gentiles, so they didn't become seduced by paganism. Those dietary laws that were in Peter's vision were one of the ways they kept their distance, but now God was closing the distance between himself and the rest of the world. Verse 23 tells us what Barnabas found after the apostles had sent him up to Antioch to check it out. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. Let me ask you, why do you think Barnabas' first instinct was to go to Tarsus and look for Saul? Well, you may remember that Barnabas was the one who brought Saul to the secret hideout of the apostles when they thought Saul's conversion might be a phony and a trap. Barnabas and Saul forged a powerful bond of friendship those many years ago. But now, Barnabas remembers Saul kept talking about Jesus appearing to him on the road to Damascus. And in that vision, Saul said that Jesus told him he would be used to open the eyes of the Gentiles. They were blind to who Jesus was. And at that time, the apostles thought Saul of Tarsus was talking crazy, and they simply ignored him. But it all comes racing vividly back to Barnabas, who immediately thinks, "Saul, he said this would happen." So let's continue reading in verse 26. So, for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gifts to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. There was a ton of money in the Gentile world, and as the famine rages through it, the new pagan Gentile converts begin to give money to their poor brothers and sisters in Israel, sealing a bond between them as strong as the bond between Saul and Barnabas. A friend in need is a friend indeed. And the Gentile believers proved more than friends. They proved to be brothers. The main takeaway from this chapter is that the Holy Spirit is a tactical genius. From Saul accidentally spreading the gospel through persecuting the church, to him giving Peter the vision before the gospel went viral, to injecting new money from new converts into Christian churches in Israel. With the Holy Spirit as the strategic advisor of the church's advance, the world, my friends, didn't stand a chance. And it still doesn't today. That same Holy Spirit that was at work then is at work today. And he wants to work through you.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.